Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my very special guest today is actor extraordinaire Matt Frewer, who every sci-fi geek in the world wanted to be at some point in time, I'm sure.
Yes, because they're now flying extraordinaire.
And Matt is currently one of the stars of Sci-Fi Channel's new series Olympus, which debuted April 2nd, and you can watch it on Sci-Fi Channel every Thursday going forward. And Matt plays Daedalus, the gifted and cursed inventor of the ancient world. Thank you for joining us today, Matt.
Thank you, Summer. Thank you for having me.
So how did you becoming Daedalus happen?
Well, I'd worked with Nick Willing, our brilliant creator, writer, producer, director, on Olympus. I'd worked with him before on Alice, the miniseries, and I played the White Knight for him in that. And he got in touch a year ago, last January, I think it was, and said, "Matty, I have a wonderful role for you, and I've written it specifically for you." And Icarus's father. Mm-hmm. And it just sounded like such a fascinating thing to take on, because he's this guilt-ridden, grief-stricken genius who, and the god that he worships is the work. He forgoes everything in his life to worship this god, including love. And of course, that's his big tragedy is that he's rejected by his son, and is indeed responsible for his death, as we see in episode 2 when Daedalus shows up, crash landing his flying machine rather like Harrison Ford on a golf course.
So,
you're not flying extraordinaire.
stay on the ground 2 feet. You're good.
17th fairway. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So what was your interpretation of how to, I guess, care again for Hero? Because you're in mourning for your son, but here comes this young guy who needs your help.
He needs my help, but he also has something that I want and that I need. And it's the, it may or may not be the key to entry into Olympus, the realm of the gods. And each of the characters is on their own separate journey, and each of them has a separate reason for wanting to meet his or her god, and I can't give away why Daedalus wants to meet his god. By the way, I made a decision to pronounce it Daedalus, and everyone else pronounces it Daedalus, and it's one of his great bete noirs in his life is that he's the famous guy in ancient Greece, but everyone mispronounces his name. So he's always correcting them, right?
That's funny. So what other personality traits have you personally brought to Daedalus?
Well, God, we might be giving too much of me away. He's very nihilistic. He's very cynical, and he's very dark. And I'm not saying that all these are qualities of mine. I certainly know of them and have gone through them and been on the edge of the abyss, looking down. And he, he's grief stricken. He's full of self-loathing, and his problem is that just before we meet him, he and his son have escaped from this tower. King Minos has imprisoned him to help build war machines and help Minos win the war and come up with these extraordinary inventions. Daedalus is a brilliant architect and inventor. And the great tragedy of the character is that even though he has escaped the literal confinement, he still has this metaphorical one, and he's trapped in his head. And to a certain extent, it's kind of an ivory tower. He's the smartest guy in the room and feels vastly intellectually superior to everyone around him, you know. I can only dream of that myself.
But now, from what
I'm
I understand,
ground floor looking up.
not always. I'm sure. Now, from what I understand, most of this, most of the larger set pieces were actually green screen. Like about 70-75% of the show is green screen.
Yes, Summer. I mean, it was absolutely extraordinary. We were in a green screen, on a green screen stage from day one. And it's amazing what that does to you psychologically. I mean, you know, green is supposed to relax you. That's why they call it a green room. And that kind of sickly green color in hospitals is supposed to work to keep you calm before your operation, I suppose. But working in it day after day, I found by about day five, I found the color green so repellent. I couldn't order a salad at a restaurant, you know. It was just driving me nuts. But the end result obviously was well worth it, because the crew goes through everything that the actors do, pretty much, in terms of being in that environment, and God, the stamina and skill that those guys displayed to turn out these spectacular backdrops for us wee actors in the foreground was just second to none. It was just brilliant.
Now, was this production the most amount of time you've ever spent on green screen? Because you have a long history with science fiction-related shows and movies.
Yeah, I've done a lot of green screen before, and so I was used to that business of, acting with a tennis ball on a stick. And, and occasionally the tennis ball gives you more than the other actor will, which is always good. And,
tennis
ball, I have similar hairstyle, so I felt like I had something in common, but it was I was used to that business of, okay, imagine the pterodactyl 6 feet above your head, now react, so I was used to that business of creating something out of nothing, but I've never done it so many days in a row. I mean, it was demanding from that point of view, and difficult for Tom York playing hero, because he was in there every day, every scene, pretty much.
So, what character interactions were you looking forward to, or are you still looking forward to as you shoot the rest of the series?
Oh, it was. The nature of the show is basically Hero and Oracle and Daedalus on their way to Olympus, rather like the hobbits going to Mount Doom, and so that that kind of interaction was great fun, and they're sidelined along the way. They get captured by Minos, and many things happen all week, but there are many happy memories of effective scenes and really cool interactions with a lot of the characters. It's a vivid and epic portrayal of what the Greeks started off so well, and Nick Willing picked up the baton and sprinted with it. It's just great fun.
What was the most challenging aspect of what you've had to do?
I think you probably already touched on it with the green screen.
Okay.
It's one thing to have someone say, okay, this is what we intend, but then it's another thing to picture it vividly enough in your mind's eye that during the course of the scene you can portray it truthfully. And that was quite difficult. Sometimes, you know, when you're staring down at a floor that's painted green, and you know that in the magic of post-production, it's going to turn into a 1,000-foot chasm, but the edge of the cliff is just a piece of tape. That's not easy, you know. Those sorts of things, I think. But I've only seen episode one and episode two, but I was knocked out by the backdrops and just what the post-production guys and the visual effects guys managed to achieve is extraordinary.
So that much green screen, actually, you think it distracts you more from what you need to do to get the performance?
I don't think it distracts you. It's just so much as just by sheer virtue of the fact of what it is, you have to use your imagination more, you know. But that's helped along by the designers coming along and showing you what's intended. And David, one of our VFX guy, you know, was very careful with that. He'd always be on the sentence of, you know, and giving you at the very least a sketch of what is going to be out there, what you're looking at. So it's not just this vast green space. In the end, it's going to be either this kind of enchanted wood, or it's going to be a rocky plain with these giant pillars of stepping stones, or whatever it's going to be, you know.
Excellent. So now I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about librarians, because that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
For us. What part of Duloc did you, I guess, savor?
Oh, I think the delicious villain aspect of it. Any actor will tell you the villains are more fun to play than the good guy, because the good guy, there's always a I've played heroes before, and there's always a certain kind of set of rules that you have to go by, or a certain number of expectations that have to be fulfilled for the audience. Whereas a villain, you can be as bad as you want, and hopefully they'll still love you for it. You know, in fact, they may even love you more because all bets are off. The parameters have disappeared. You create the parameters, you know. So that kind of thing, I think, was the most fun, and of course the fact that I'm playing an immortal, so they can't kill me off.
So you're like, I have job security. Yes.
Oh well, to a certain extent, I suppose all they have to do is just not write me in, and they showed me. I've died so much on camera. I'm trying to get it out of the way for real life.
Excellent. So, what else are you working on or going to be working on coming up, where your fans can find you?
Well, there are a couple things coming up. Nothing which has landed yet, and I've committed to. And one thing that I've written that looks like it's going to happen. So I'm excited about that. But it's still sort of in the pre-launch stages with everything. So there's really nothing kind of concrete that I could say.
What you've written, is it for television, for film, for online?
It's for television, yeah.
Oh wow! Have you had anything else that you've written, produced before?
Yes, I was one of the writers on our old thing, Sci Factor, and did one on that, and I had written a couple other things for companies which went into turnaround, and had a couple of one film script which went into pre-production. So many false starts, a few times getting on base, and looking forward to this one crossing home plate. How about that for a sports metaphor?
There you go. Hey, it's still spring training here, so
that's right. Well, you know, you got to swing the bat if you're going to hit the ball, and
that's
I
true.
Find as you're rounding second.
So, do you find that your experience acting helps you with the stuff you're writing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everything helps. You know, I mean, just kind of wearing another hat for a while, and you see it from different angles, and the literal interpretation of that is if you look at something from different angles, you get a fully realized 3D version of what you imagined, and it's very helpful.
So is your passion project to produce your own series or your own film?
I've been asked to direct a lot, and I'm probably the only actor that doesn't want to direct, because I don't really want to be pecked to death by 1,000 pigeons. And that said, if it was something that I'd written, yes, I would. But it's a difficult process. But to produce something that I've written and that I can act in as well would be fantastic. And that's the idea with this TV thing.
Awesome. Well, we shall keep an eye out for it
in case
that hits, and I will ask if I can call you later when it does come around.
Great. I love to chat with you again. Sounds good to me.
Well, thank you for your time today, Matt.
Okay. Thank you, Summer. A pleasure talking to you, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
All right. And again, the show is Olympus on Sci-Fi Channel Thursdays. Check it out. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Are you tired of the same old stuff Hollywood puts out week after week? You know, all those less than appealing remakes? Those films with over-the-top CG and no storyline? Well, we don't have to take it anymore thanks to the 2015 B-Movie Celebration.
Polyscope Media presents the 9th annual B-Movie Celebration. In 2015, we're going to go back in time, back to 1985 to be exact. The 9th annual B-Movie Celebration will feature the following films from this time period.
Fright Night.
Malibu Express.
The Last Dragon.
Invasion USA.
Remo Williams, The Adventure Begins.
Return of the Living Dead.
Trancers.
Reanimator.
Morons from Space.
The Stuff.
Life Force.
DEFCON 4.
Damnation Alley.
Better Off Dead.
Godzilla 1985. Along with those 80s classics, we're going to showcase The Blob from 1958 and Death Race 2000 from 1975.
So pack those bags, recharge that flux capacitor, and join us for the 9th annual B-Movie Celebration on August 14th, 15th, and 16th, 2015 at the Brown County Playhouse in Nashville, Indiana.
For updated information on this event, bookmark the bmoviecelebration.com website using your favorite browser, and we promise to have you home back in time.
Titles mentioned in this promo are subject to change without notice.
The Badasses, Boobs, and Body Counts podcast is an official sponsor of the 9th annual B-Movie Celebration.
Hey folks, this is Bruce Campbell, and this is my podcast. Thank you very much.
So, spring is here, we have baseball's in the air, and the spring slate of television shows coming along. For Sci-Fi Channel, we have a lot of stuff coming up. We have Lost Girl, we have Bitten, we have Olympus, as Matt Frewer was talking about, and on next week's episode, we'll have Olympus's director and creator, Nick Willing, on to talk more about this show. Some of you may remember the work he did with Sci-Fi's miniseries Tin Man and a couple of other items. So stay tuned for that. But I think we're going to have a spring TV talk show very soon. So Kevin, if you're listening, warm it up, baby. We have a plethora of new TV shows to talk about. There's Salem, Daredevil. There's Game of Thrones. There's Orphan Black. There's something called The Messengers, which he just told me about, and now I'm curious. So many things coming along. I know he's in a happy mood now that Sleepy Hollow got officially renewed for next season. And both of us are extremely happy about a second season for 12 Monkeys. Oh my goodness, 12 Monkeys. You are my new obsession. Thank you. I needed another TV show on my must-watch list. Really, I did. But even with the good 12 Monkeys news, I currently am in purgatory, waiting to hear about what's going to happen with Constantine. Although we did see a message that meetings will be happening towards the end of April, so I'm going to be a little edgy during April, waiting for that news to come down. Oh, yeah, and there was something else announced just this week. Stars and Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell and Lucy Lawless are working on a new Evil Dead TV series that will air this fall. They just announced it, or they just released a teaser for it, and I'm curious what they're going to do. It's called Ash vs. Evil Dead, and you can actually see the teaser for that at Starz's website. There's a link to it from sliceofsci-fi.com. Check it out. I'm also trying to get together an old school Slice of Sci-Fi crew chat about the upcoming movie season, because everything is starting earlier this year. The Avengers Age of Ultron starts May 1st instead of Memorial Day weekend. So did Hollywood just give us an extra month of summer vacation, or do they just want to maximize the summer movie season? I know Furious 7 opens this week. A lot of people are saying that's the best one in the franchise. I haven't watched any of those since the second one, so apparently I have a lot of catching up to do. We'll see. And yes, I'm considering Fast and the Furious franchise as science fiction, because you cannot violate that many laws of motion and thermodynamics without calling it science fiction. I'm sorry, it's just not possible. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. So we will be talking TV shows coming up in the next couple of weeks. We will be talking, hopefully, movies a little bit after that. Everyone's looking forward to Avengers. Everyone's looking forward to, well, a lot of people are looking forward to Ant-Man. Some are, some aren't. I am looking forward to Man from U.N.C.L.E. That trailer surprised me. And that could be more fun than Kingsman, The Secret Service. I thought that was a fun movie. Man from U.N.C.L.E. looks like it's going to be even more fun. And Henry Cavill has just the perfect amount of swagger and humor. The trailer is amazing. You have to go see it. If you're an old school fan, if you liked shows, you know, the spy shows from the 60s and 70s, this is going to be in your wheelhouse, I think. But that said, that'll do it for this episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. As always, if you have questions, comments, go ahead, call them in. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can record a comment on your own and email it, or email a link to it if the audio is too long. Send that to summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. Yes, we are still working out the kinks on the live show. Saturdays at 11 a.m. Pacific time over at KryptonRadio.com. You may hear me for 10 minutes. You may hear me for an hour. I'm still working out the technical kinks. And once I get it settled as to how to get Skype callers to actually be heard over the broadcast, we'll be having some fun. Keep an eye out on the Twitter feed Saturday if you're bored and I want somebody to call in to help me test this setup in its 14th configuration. Let me know. I'll be using the Twitters for that Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Pacific. Check us out on Twitter. That user handle is @sliceofsci-fi. We also have a Google Plus page that I'm trying to keep up to date. We have Facebook. I'm not sure what's going on with the Facebook because I don't Facebook myself. I may need a Facebook minion. Keep an ear out for that, maybe. As always, come to sliceofsci-fi.com. Check out the articles, the reviews. We have a lot more reviews. We're going to be including some more author talk as it relates to television, movies, tie-ins to various media franchises that we all know and love. Also check out itscomicbookday.com. Michael J. is doing a fantastic job over there. He's got a couple of interviews lined up. He already has one interview with the writer of Titan Comics' Ninth Doctor series, which just launched last month. As always, your donations are fully appreciated and put to good use. We keep the show going. We keep the site, the websites up. We keep the media flowing so you can enjoy this little slice of entertainment we have over here in the corner. Like I said, once the live show gets going, fully functional, we'll have a Patreon page where you can sign up to be a patron of Slice of Sci-Fi. There will be bonus materials, including access to the older interviews for both Slice of Sci-Fi and Dragon Page, as well as some bonus goodies from the live show, related to the live show. So that's why I'm trying to work out all the bugs and get that underway. Again, thank you. Thank you all for continuing to listen and continuing to support our entertainment efforts here. This really, really would not be as much fun without you guys listening and letting us know what you're enjoying. So, thank you again, and we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.